The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Refuah Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefana lo, en narefana lo, en narefana lo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with Arichut Yamim, health, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be Zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen. Daf Yud Gimel. Today's daf is being studied by Le'ilui Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Bet Amud Bet. And we start from the two dots towards the bottom of the daf. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Halakha, Rabbi Yosef. We learned yesterday that Rabbi Yosef's Shita was that you're allowed, everybody allows you to deliver the terumah. The only mahlokit was how you're allowed to deliver hala and matanot. And therefore this opinion says, halakha faz Rabbi Yosef, which means according to Beit Hillel, you would be allowed, according to everybody, you'd be allowed to deliver terumah to the Kohen on Yom Tov. Comes the Gemara and says, Avid Rashi, halakha k'Rabbi Yosef, ve'alibah de Beit Hillel. Again, I repeat again. According to Rabbi Yosef, the mahloket was by teruma, and everybody agreed by matanot and halah. So the hadush is that according to Beit Hillel, even teruma is permissible to deliver. And that's what it means halakha k'Rabbi Yosef. Rav tubi bere de Rav de Hamya, havale garba de hamra de teruma. So the rabbi had a barrel of wine that happened to be teruma. Yosef, so he came in front of Rabbi Yosef. Amar lo, mahu le'amtuye le'kohen ha'idana. Yom Tov. He said, can I bring it to the Kohen today? Teruma. Amar le, ha'che, amar Rabbi Yehuda, amar Shemuel, halakha k'Rabbi Yosef. He told him, no problem. Halakha k'Rabbi Yosef, according to Beit Hillel, it's permissible to deliver the teruma. Ushpesichne deraba barav hanan. Ushpesichne means the landlord, the one that the rabbi was staying by. Hava le asuriyata de hardela. He had stalks of mustard. This is a new point. Amale mao le feruche umechal minayu biyom tov. So he asked the rabbi, can I crumble them in my hands to get the mustard out? Can I do that on Yom Tov? Now, what's the question? The question was because since I could have done, let's read Rashi actually. Asuriyata, havilot shel hardal, right? Stalks of or bundles of mustard, besharbitin in the stalks, vazera betochan, right? The seed is in the stalks themselves. Ma'o leferuche asharbitin utziya zera biyom tov, mishare biyom tov. Do we say that just like slaughtering or cooking is permissible, this is also permissible? Or do I say no, this is considered threshing? Because what is threshing? Threshing, you bang the stalk to get the goods out. So therefore, this could have been number four Yom Tov. So you wanted to know, Rabbi, can I crush the mustard stalks to get out the seed on Yom Tov? He didn't have the answer. So he went in front of Rava. Amale, he told him, molilin melilot umfarchin kitniyot biyom tov. Which means it is permissible on Yom Tov, even on Shabbat, as she says, you're allowed to take wheat kernels and you be molil them. Molil means you rub them in your hands and the wheat comes out. What's the reason why it's mutar? It's dash. No, this is dash kal ahriyad. It's really not the normal way to dash it like that in your hands, to thresh it in your hands. And therefore, it's permissible. Rashi, מוללין מלילות דדש כלאחר ידו. It's not the normal way. ואפילו בשבת לאו דאורייתא אלא מדרבנן. So on Shabbat it would be assumed Rabbanan, וביום טוב לא גזור. So that's the difference. On Shabbat assumed Rabbanan to do this מלילות, but in יום טוב החכמים were lenient. Furthermore, the Gemara says, "Eti be abaye." So abaye is the question. So he allowed him. So the mustard seeds, no problem. You could crush them in your hands on Yom Tov. So eti be abaye hamolel melilot me'ereb Shabbat. Let's say you rub them, the wheat from Erev Shabbat, from before Shabbat, lemahar menapeyach miyad liyad ve'ochel. So now you have the chaff. The chaff is in the is mixed up with the wheat. So therefore, what are you able to do? Menapeyach liyad liyad, which means you're able to put it in your hand, this mixture, and either some say you could blow it, you know, blow the chaff off, or just keep on switching from hand to hand, and the wind, you know, will blow away the chaff. That's permissible on Shabbat. Aval lo bekanun velo betamhui. But you cannot use the kanun, which is a type of sifting vessel. It's more like a kanun, be more like a funnel, right? Where it's wide on top and narrow on the bottom, where you'd stick the goods in there and it would sift it out and just the kernels would come out. You cannot use that. Velo betamhui. Tamhui is like a big plate, okay? So while they allow you to separate the chaff, if already you molel dam me'erev Shabbat, on Shabbat itself, they only allow you to use your hands to get rid of the chaff. Okay? Now again, what's the reason? It's shelo kederechol. That's not the normal way. It's done during the week. Hamolel melilot me'erev Yom Tov. Let's say the guy me'erev Yom Tov, he takes the wheat again and he rubs it to get the wheat kernels out. Lemachar menapeyach aliyad aliyad. He could again switch them from hand to hand to get rid of the chaff. Ve'ochel. Afilu bekanun vaafilu betamhoi. So in Yom Tov they're more lenient. They even let you use these vessels to separate the chef. Aval lo betabla velo benapa velo bekebara. These are vessels that are more prevalent use for this purpose, and therefore it is forbidden to use those vessels. So comes the Gemara and says me'erev Yom Tov in beYom Tov lo. But you see that the Braita said you're only being molel melilot me'erev Yom Tov. We just said over here, the rabbi said you can even do it on Yom Tov. So how does he work with the Braita? So the Gemara says afilu tema beYom Tov. Really, you can even do the melilot on Yom Tov. Ve'aydi di tana resha me'erev Shabbat tana sefana me'erev Yom Tov. Which means since the first case, we use the case of Erev Shabbat, because in that case, the Melilot can only be done on Erev Shabbat. So therefore, since we used the Deresha Erev Shabbat, so the Sefer we used Erev Yom Tov. But who adin you'd be permissible to do the Melilot on Yom Tov itself? So the Gemara says, wait, Imken Matzinu Teruma Shezakai Baharamata. Now, when you have these stalks over here, it's wheat. Halakha says you can't eat it unless you take Teruma. You have to take Terumah. It's wheat. It's halakha. So you have to take Terumah. So the Gemara assumes that before the guy's going to eat it, they're telling you could be molel them on Yom Tov. So the assumption is that before he's molel them or after he's molel them, he's going to separate Terumah. How could that be? We learned in the Mishnah Utnan, lo imamartim b'terumah she'enu zakai b'haramata. What are you talking? Our Mishnah clearly said that even according to Beit Hillel, that Terumah you're not allowed to take on Yom Tov. That was the Hiduk between Matanot and Hala and Terumah. But from this case we see that there is a scenario where you're allowed to take Terumah on Yom Tov. The case where you bring the Melilot in stalks, let's say, and you crush them with your hands, and now you take the Terumah and you're doing it on Yom Tov. Again, because they would not allow you to be molel them unless you're going to eat them. Now you can't eat them unless you take Terumah. So this is a direct question against our Mishnah. How did our Mishnah say that Terumah eno zakai baharamata? What do you mean? Zakai baharamata. Here's a case where you can actually take Terumah. So comes the Gemara and says, Lakasha. No question. Ha Rabbi, ha Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Really, everybody's going to allow you to do the Melilot on Yom Tov. That's not a machloket. You could crush the stalks on Yom Tov, That's not a problem. Ah, you had a question that says it's against our Mishnah because they're letting you take terumah. No, I'll tell you that. Do we have a machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? What's the machloket? Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi. What's the machloket? The Tanya. Hechnish shibulin la'asot mehem isa. It's a guy. He brought shibulin in his house, stalks, grain, with the intention to use it for dough. Ochel mehen arai. You can only eat a small amount. Upatur, which means halakha says by teruma. When is the hayyuv of teruma come on a person? After he threshes, gets the wheat kernels out, and then puts them in a pile, right? And smoothens the pile. That's called miruah hakri. That's when the hayyuv of teruma comes in. Now this guy over here, he brought his wheat in with kavanah to make dough. That means he's eventually going to thresh it, he's eventually going to make piles, he's eventually going to smoothen it. However, until he does that, Hachamim allowed him to eat the wheat kernels themselves, aray, not in a permanent fashion, in a small amount, and he's going to be patur, right? Because the halakha says until you finish gemar melacha is until you finish the process, it's not hayav in teruma. And since this guy's kavanah is the process to make dough, so he's still wheat kernels. You didn't get to the end of the process yet. So therefore they allow you to eat it even without taking terumah. Now, lemolelan b'melilot. But let's say the guy's kavanah when he brought it into the house was to eat them b'melilot, the way they are, meaning crush them in his hands and eat them. He has no intention to make miruah hakri and all that. So therefore the gemar melacha is when the second he finishes crushing them. In this scenario, that's the end of the melacha. So now we have a great machloket. Rabbi Mehayev. Rabbi says, in this case over here, you have to give terumah immediately. Why? Because in this case, your kavanah is for melilot. You're eating it when it's raw. I'm not intending later to make dough out of it. And the process is finished immediately. So therefore, Rabbi says, hayav terumah. The Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, poter. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're patur in such a case. He says, you're not chayav to take teruma from melilot. Oh, so now we have, let's read Rashi. Rabbi Mehayev, betruma, shelo yochal mehen arai. You can't even eat a small amount of it, like a snack. Ad sheyafrish. Why? Lefi shehachnasatan b'shibolin, hi gemar melachtan. When you brought it in b'shibolin, you're done. That's the end of the process. She'en sofo laboli de gorin. You're not going to make a pile out of it. Ahar v'zegornan. This is considered the pile. V'Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda poter. What's the reason? Deganecha ketiv. The Torah says, what's chayav in teruma? Deganecha. V'hainu miruach. The word dagan is representing the concept of miruach, where you pile them and you smoothened. De'en digun ela kibbutz bekri. Dagan is not used until you pile it in the pile. And therefore, let's analyze. Rabbi Yosef is telling you, on Yom Tov now, when the guy takes this mililot, are you allowed to crush them? Certainly. Are you hayav in terumah? No. According to him, there's no hayuv terumah on mililot. So I'll say the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef. When our Mishnah said, what do you mean? Terumah eno zakai baramata. Because you don't ever have a case where you'll take terumah on Yom Tov. Even in this case over here, where you're going to do the mililot, you don't have to take terumah. So the Mishnah is correct. There is no case that is allowed to take terumah on Yom Tov. The stuff that you did miruah hakri from yesterday, so for sure you cannot take terumah today. And everybody agrees, because you should have done it yesterday. In this case as well, where the dagan is finished, meaning you are molel, and that's gemar melachtan, also in this case you don't take terumah according to Rabbi Yosef, because there's no hayuv. So for the Mishnah's language, uma terumah she'eno zakai b'haramata is going like Rabbi Yosef. So the Mishnah's language was accurate. There is no case where you could take terumah on Yom Tov. Now, it cannot be going according to Rabbi, because Rabbi, there's a case where you can take it on Yom Tov. That's the case, molel mililot. Molel mililot, he holds. It's considered gemar melachta, so you take it. So that's the way we understand the Gemara at this point. So the Gemara goes further. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean? I'll give you a case where even Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says you can take terumah on Yom Tov. Mashkachat la כגון שהכניס שיבודין לעשות מהם עיסה. Let's say a guy on Yom Tov, he brought wheat into his house with the intention to make dough. Okay? Now, once your intention is to make dough, you're hayav in terumah. Meaning eventually you're going to be hayav in terumah, because then you're going to thresh it, you're going to make the pile, you're going to make meruah hakri. But then what happened? V'nimlach alehin nimolelam b'yom tov. He changed his mind. He said, you know what? I'm not going to make dough out of it. I want to crush them up, rub them, and eat the kernels on Yom Tov. The tabla biyomeh. So now they became tevil on Yom Tov, because the halakha says once your kavana was for isa, there's a hayuv of terumah. I don't care if you changed your mind. Once you changed your mind, even the biyoseh will say, I'm eating it as melilot now. Doesn't matter. Once the hayuv of terumah went on it, with your kavana, so now you have to take terumah, and the biyoseh will allow you to take terumah in that case. So we found a case where even according to the biyoseh, you can take terumah on Yom Tov, where you brought it in with one kavana, which is a hayuv, and then you changed your mind for another case, meaning for melilot. Normally melilot, the biyoseh says patur mitterumah, but this is not a case of straight melilot. This is le'isa, and then you changed your mind for melilot. Also, we're back to the question: how do you learn our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said, "Uma teruma she'enu zakai b'haramata." You could never take teruma on Yom Tov. What do you mean? According to Rabbi Yosef, there's a case where you could take teruma on Yom Tov. So how do you interpret the Mishnah? So ela mai teruma. So you know how you explain the Mishnah when it says teruma, rov teruma. The Mishnah meant to say the majority of cases, teruma you're not going to take on Yom Tov. Granted, you have some exceptional cases. You have a case where a guy brought it in for Isa, then changed his mind, but how often does that happen? The Mishnah, when it says teruma is not taken on Yom Tov, it didn't mean in every scenario. It means in the majority of cases, teruma is not going to be taken. And therefore the Mishnah can be going like Ben Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi. Which means, according to the B, we have a case where you can take the teruma when it's in melilot. According to the B, you'll say melilot is patur, but a case where you brought it in for isa, then you change your mind. But those are exceptional cases. So therefore, when the Mishnah says teruma, eno zakai baharamata, means rov teruma. It's not subject to teruma. Therefore, the Mishnah can be either going like either opinion. But according to the bottom line, molen melilot on Yom Tov would be permissible. According to the B, with taking teruma, according to the Biyoseh, eating it straight. Good? Comes Gemara and says, Amar Abaye. Abaye comes along and says, Mahaloket b'shibbolin. This mahaloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef is talking about where you have the ears, which means they're coming in the stalks. So Rabbi is going to say, Hayav teruma, and Rabbi Yosef is going to say, Patur. Aval b'kitniyot. Kitniyot is like legumes. That's like beans. Devrei hakol asuraita tavla. Everybody holds when it comes to beans, and you bring them in a bundle into your house, you don't need miruah hakri. Everybody says once you bundle them, even in a small amount, you're going to be hayav on teruma. And what's the logic? Because by wheat, the normal derech is to make a pile. So therefore, the biyosim is to pile it, and your intention is just to eat it straight, like melilot, you're going to be patur. However, when it comes to legumes you use a little at a time. You don't wait and make a pile out of them and, make miru hakri. You eat the beans, you take a little at a time, you put it in your tafshil. So he'll hold even that the legumes, the kitniyot, is chayav in teruma, even in the state of shabbitin, when you bundle them in their stalks. So comes the Gemara and says, so again, since it's the derech not to bring a lot of kitniyot in at one time, so therefore, once you bring a little in and you're in a bundle, you hayav right away according to everybody. So the Gemara says, Lema, who's saying all this here? This is being said by Abaye. Lema misayale. Let us bring a proof to Abaye's statement. Mi shehayulo habile tiltan shel tebel. A guy had, tiltan is fenugreek. It's a type of, let's say, spice. So we had habile tiltan. He had a bundle of tiltan shil tibil, and it was tibil. Okay? Now, right away, you see from the case that it's possible you could have a bundle of a legume, and it's tibil. What does tibil mean? You didn't take terumah. So Abaye is correct that when it comes to kitniyot already, you see that even when it's in a bundle, you didn't make miru hakri, you didn't pile, and the case we're discussing is, it is a bundle, and it is still tevil. So what do you do? Harezik kotesh. So first you have to crush them in order to get the fenugreek out, the tiltan out. Umehashev. Kama zerat yeshbahem. You're able to estimate how much seeds are. You don't have to actually count them. You can make an estimation. Umafrish ala zera. And you have to take tiruma on the seeds. The enu mafrish ala etz. However, you don't factor in the tree. Because even though the tree of the fenugreek is also a spice, you can put that in the tafshil also, and it's beneficial. But the Hadush is telling you over here, for tiruma purposes, you only calculate how much zera, how much seeds there are. And you do not have to calculate the etz. So the Gemara says, "My love, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudahi, the Amar Hatam, Lo Tabla, Hacha Tabla," which means the Chaura. This is going like Rabbi Yosef. Why is it going like Rabbi Yosef? So that she says that normally Rabbi Yosef says by shibulin of wheat, it's not tebel. When you take it in to make melilot, you don't have to take terumah. And that's why the Braita is coming along to tell you, but by fenugreek, by a legume, it is tevil. So the Hiddush is according to Rabbi Yosef. Because according to Rabbi, I don't have to tell me fenugreek. Even wheat, which is the normal derech to make miruah hakri, Rabbi says you're hayav in terumah when you make melilot. So therefore, kol sheken, in this case over here, where it's the normal derech to bring it in a little at a time, for sure Rabbi is going to say you're hayav in terumah. The chidush is according to the biyoseh, because the biyoseh that says by wheat when you make mililot you patur from terumah, but in this case of tiltan, since it's the derech to bring little of the time, it's coming to tamei, it is tevil, meaning you hayav in terumah. So you see the biyoseh makes a chiduk between wheat and ketniyot. Gemara says lo rabihi. No, the statement is going according to the bi. My iriyat tiltan. So would you give me a case of fenugreek? Tell me the bigger hidush. Even wheat, which is the derech to pile up, still you hayav before you piled it up when you brought it in for shibulin. Rabbi, the bigger hidush is shibulin. So the Gemara says, Ela mai, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. What do you want to say? That the Braita is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Lishme'inan sha'ar mine kitniyot ve'kol sheken tiltan. Which means you should have brought the bigger hiddush. If Rabbi Yosef holds that kitniyot is hayav, so why did the Braita give me the case of tiltan? Tiltan is a lesser hiddush because it's the normal way of tiltan to bring in a little at a time. So that's considered Gemar Melachtan. If the Braita was Rabbi Yosef, it should have said even other kitniyot that might not be so the derech, still you're going to be hayav terumah immediately. So therefore the Gemara is saying, who's the author of this Braita? If it's Rabbi, what did you tell me tiltan? Tell me even wheat. If it's Rabbi Yosef, why'd you tell me tiltan? Tell me other kitniyot that are a bigger hidush. Ela tiltan it's tarichale. You know what I'll tell you? The author of the Braita is Rabbi. Also, why'd you tell me tiltan? You should have told me wheat. Salkadatachamino ilvetam etzo priyoshave. So I would have thought that since the stalk, meaning the wood, the etz, and the peri, and the seeds themselves have a tam, I would have thought lefrosh namea etzo. I would have thought you had to take teruma on the wood and the stalk itself. Kamash ma'lan, that you don't have to. Which means the hidush is not in tiltan, per se. Which means according to the B, tiltan is hayav in teruma. But that's no hidush in the sense because that's considered gemar melachtan. Because it's the normal derech to bring in a little tiltan at a time, bundle it, and put it in your tafshil. So therefore, for sure you're going to be hayav in teruma. How do I know? Because the B says even by dagan, by wheat, which the normal derech to bring it in and pile it and make miru hakri, and still he says if you're bringing in it in bundles, you hayav. So what's the hidush in tiltan? Tiltan's hidush is that you would have thought that the hayuv of tiruman tiltan, you have to factor in not only the zera, but you have to factor in the stalk. Why would I think you have to factor in the stalk? Because the stalk also has a ta'am. So I would say maybe it's also like a spice. Kamash ma'lan? No, you don't have to factor in the etch, you just factor in the zera. So therefore, we do not have a proof for Abaye's statement. Abaye tried to say that by kutniyot, even the Rabbi Yosef is going to say, you hayab immediately. But we brought a braita, but the braita that we brought, we're saying is not Rabbi Yosef. The braita can be going like Rabbi, so therefore Abaye is not supported by a braita. Now we go to the Ika de Amre. Ika de Amre, we have another version of Abaye. Amar Abaye, mahaloket b'shibulin. The mahaloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, b'shibulin. And what's the mahaloket like we learned? Rabbi says, since bottom line you're intending to eat it in mililot, meaning you're going to crush them as they are, that's gemar melachtan. When is chayuv terumah come on you? Gemar melachtan. Rabbi Yosef says, nah, since the derech of this item is to be dagan, to put in the pot, you're going to be patur. Aval b'kitniyot. But when it comes to kitniyot legumes, divrei hakol asuraita lo tabla. The opposite. When you bring it in legumes in a bundle, everybody's going to say it's not tebel, which means there is no chiyuv of teruma. If it would be tebel, that means you have to take teruma. Tebel means something that teruma was not taken from. If they're saying lo tabla, it means when it comes to these items over here, you can molel them in, you know, a little at a time, eat them, no problem. There is no hayuv of terumah according to everybody. So comes the Gemara and says, so it's the opposite Sevara, Abaye is saying. Right? Abaye is saying the opposite logic over here. You have to say that according to this logic, the reason why everybody's going to say you're patur by kitniyot is because the normal derech of kitniyot is to bring it in a pile. And since you didn't pile it, everybody's going to say patur. So the Gemara says, "Metive question, Misha yudo havide tiltan." Same braita. Guy has bundles of fenugreek. Shel tevel, oh, they're tevel. Hare ze kotesh, crush them up. Umehashev kama zera yesh bahem. Right, calculate how much seeds there are. Umefrish ala zera. Take your teruma on the zera. The eno mefrish ala etz, but you don't have to take on the stalk part. So the Gemara says, "My love, tevel tavul shel teruma." When it says tevel, what does tevel mean? You didn't take terumah. And therefore we see a braita that's against this version of Abaye. Because you brought the tiltan in bundles. You didn't make miru hakri. And still it's saying, why? It's tevel. That means it's hayav in terumah. And which tevel are we thinking we're talking about? Terumah tevel. So therefore, we have a question against Abaye. Because there's other things. The hayuv is not only terumah. You have to take ma'aser rishon. There's other items. So therefore, we're assuming that the tevel that the braita means over here is the tevel of terumah, meaning terumah wasn't taken, and therefore there's a question on Abaye. The Gemara says, who said lo? Tevel tavul shel terumat ma'aser. The tevel that we're talking about over here is not terumah. It's really the tevel of terumat ma'aser. Now what is terumat ma'aser? Another way of saying terumat ma'aser is ma'aser min ma'aser. No, ma'aser min ma'aser. Which means, the case is like this. Rabbi Abhu Amar Bishma Min Akish, Damar Rabbi Abhu Amar Bishma Min Akish, Ma'aser Rishon, Shehikdimo B'Shibulin. Let's say, like this is the scenario over here. The Levi, normally, the way of Terumot and Ma'asrot work is like this. The Yisrael has a, you know, some wheat. He takes Terumah. Terumah from the Torah is only one wheat. Hita Ahad Poteret Takri. He could take one kernel, give it to the Kohen, minat Torah, he fulfilled his obligation. The rabbis came along and made percentages. They said if a guy has a good eye, he's generous, he should give 1/40. If a person is Ayin Binoni, he's a mediocre guy, he gives a 50th. If he's Ayin Ra, he gives a 60th. Okay, but that's a rabbinical shiur. And what does he do after he gives the Kohen his terumah? He now has to give 10% of what's left over to the Levi. That's called Ma'aser Rishon. Okay? Now the Levi has his Ma'aser Rishon, he cannot eat it. It's tevel still. Yeah. Why? Because he has to give 10% of that to the Kohen. That's called Terumat Ma'aser. Or Ma'aser Mina Ma'aser. So the case we're discussing over here is where the Levi jumped the gun. The Levi went over here, and when the stalks of Tiltan, you know, they were still in the bundles over here. Okay? So we're saying it's tevel. What type of tevel over here? Terumah, there was no chayuv in this case. So what's the tevel over here? Well, normally, here the Levi came and took the stalks. Now, he didn't give his ma'asir min ma'asir. So until he gives us ma'asir min ma'asir, it's considered tevel. And therefore, you tried to bring a question from Abaye to Abaye. Abaye wanted to say, when it comes to Havilet Tiltan, everybody wants to say there's no Hayuf Terumah. There's no Terumah on this item. Everybody says you can eat it right away. What are you talking? We have a case of Havilet Tiltan, where the Beraita clearly says it's Tevil. You thought it was Tevil of Terumah? No, there's no Hayuf of Terumah. This is talking about Tevil of Terumat Ma'asir. What's the case over here? The case is where the Levi went and took the stalks, which means he didn't wait for Miruah Hakri. If he would have waited for Miruah Hakri, like he's supposed to, because normally they're supposed to give the Terumot and Masot in order. The Levi's not supposed to jump the gun. He's supposed to wait until Miruah Hakri, wait till the Kohen gets his Terumah, then he's supposed to come in and get his 10%. This guy over here, he didn't wait for Miruah Hakri. He went in when it was still in the spundles, and he went, he grabbed it, I'm taking my 10%. Okay, it's Avon, he shouldn't have done it. But what he did counts. So when it says Habilet Tiltan, you have bundles of Tiltan that are Tevil, it's because the Levi did not give his Ma'asir min Ma'asir. So it says Shemo Tovlo Litrumat Ma'asir. Once it's called Ma'asir Rishon, so the name Ma'asir Rishon will make it Tevil. Once it's called Ma'asir Rishon, that's Tevil, because you have stuff in there that's not supposed to be there. You have to give the Turumat Ma'asir. So therefore, that's why it's called Tevil. Let's read Rashi. Lo betevil tavu l'trumat ma'asir. It's towards the bottom. And they get wide right before that. Le'olam in havidin gamor melacha. Really, I'll tell you, bundles of fenugreek is not considered gemar melacha. Ve'ilu gabe Yisrael hu lo'ava mikri tevil. Yeah, right. By the Yisrael, this would not be considered tevil at all, because there's no hayuf terumah. Ah, but who had this item? Who are you talking about had these fenugreek? Ela beben Levi ka'eh. We're talking about that the Levi had these bundles. Shekadam ba'alach et to Yisrael. He went to the Yisrael. Ve'natal ma'asir rishon mimenu b'habilin. He took the ma'asir when they were still in bundles. Ve'u'id ve'chal al habilin al shem ma'asir. Now, those bundles that he took now, for the Levi, it's called ma'asir. ונעשו תבל אצלו להפריש ממהן תרומת מעשר מן מעשר שעל הלוי להפריש והיא במיטה. Incidentally, if the Levi would eat this before taking תרומת מעשר, he's חייב מיטה. Then you must separate. וכל תורת תרומה עלי תרומת קרי רחמנה. Very good. So comes the Gemara and says, קוטש למה לי? Now we have another question. What did the Braita say the Levi does? The Levi will take the Habilet Tiltan and he has to crush them and calculate how much seeds you have, and I guess he's going to give those seeds now to the Kohen. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Kotesh Lamali, why do you have to grind them? What's the question? Which means like this: when it comes to Tirumah, the Torah says you have to give the Kohen Dagan. Okay. What is Dagan? The actual wheat itself. But when it comes to giving Tirumat Ma'asir, it doesn't say you have to give dagan. So technically the Levi would have been able just to give the stalks to the... You don't have to grind them. When do you have to grind? Only in your obligation of Terumah, where the Torah says Deganecha. But we established the case, and I'm not talking about Terumah anymore. We're talking about a Levi. We're talking about Ma'asim and a Ma'asir. Ma'asim and Ma'asir should be enough to take 10% of the stalks and give it straight, and the stalk and let the Kohen go break them and get the wheat. So the Gemara is saying, how could you tell me we're talking about a Levi? Why would the Gemara necessitate grinding? Grinding the Chavra is not a Chiyuv and Ma'asir, but a Ma'asir. So the Gemara says, Le Male, which means let the Levi say, Ki echi dihavu li, hachi yahavin alach. The Levi can say, listen to the Kohen, I'm giving it to you the way they gave it to me. If they gave it to me in stalks over here, so I'll give it to you in stalks. I'm not obligated to crush it for you and do all your process. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Kenasa. There is a Kenasa over here, a penalty. What's the penalty? The penalty is like this. By the Levi jumping the gun, he hurts the Kohen. How does he hurt the Kohen? Because if the Levi would have waited to come on time, they would have had Miruah Hakri. Mm-hmm. Now the Kohen would have gotten 2% of the, let's say if he's Ayin Yafa, right, 1/50th we'll say, he would have gotten 2% of, let's say, the product. But now, by not getting by the Levi coming before the Hayuv of Terumah, so now the Kohen loses that Terumah, because on this, now he doesn't lose the whole Terumah, because once the Yisrael is going to make Meruah HaKri, he's going to have to take 2% of that to the Kohen, but that Meruah, that pile is missing that 10% that the Levi took. So he's not losing full Terumah.
He's losing 2%
of the 10%. And therefore, by going out of order, the Levi hurts the Kohen. So you know what we say? Because you took away part of the Kohen's Terumah, we want you to crush them and give it to him in a finished product. Mm-hmm. Which is normally a normal Maaseh, give it to him in stalks when you take it on time. But since you took it out of order, and by doing that, you caused the Kohen a loss. A minor loss, really. Listen to why it's minor loss. Because he's going to have to give Terumah the Yisrael. I mean, once he finally makes the pile of the fenugreek, he has to take 2% of that and give it to the Kohen as Terumah. But you're not taking 2% from the 10% that the Levi took. So on that amount, bottom line, you hurt the Kohen. And therefore we say, you have to grind it and give it to him in a finished product. So that's why you do that. The Gemara brings a proof to this. Tanya Nameacher. Ben Levi, שנתנו לו שיבולים במעשרותיו, right? The Ben Levi, that they gave him the maser when it was in the שיבולים, עושה אותן גורן. You have to make a pile out of them, which means, ענבים עושה אותן יין. If it's grapes, he has to process it into wine. זיתים, if it's olives, עושה אותן שמן. ומפריש עליהן תרומת מעשר, and he gives maser min maser, ונותנן לכהן. שכשם שתרומה גדולה אינה ניטלת אלא מן הגורן ומן היקב, just like regular תרומה can only be given in the גורן, גורן means in the actual wheat themselves, and יקב means the wine themselves, כך תרומת מעשר אינה ניטלת אלא מן הגורן ומן היקב. So too over here, by תרומת מעשר has to be given in the finished product. Again, because we're talking about a case where the Levi went early and he bypassed the terumah. Now, Rashi does point out, incidentally, that this is an isur min haTorah. It is asur min haTorah when it says mele'atecha v'dima'acha lo te'ahed. So Rashi learns that it's isur min haTorah for the Levi really to come before the Kohen gets his terumah. However, ma she'asa asui, what's done is done. Meaning, it doesn't invalidate the terumah or the maaser, but he makes a sin from the Torah. Comes the Gemara and says, mehashev. Now the Braita continues, and the Braita said that he doesn't actually have to count all the kernels when he's going to give the maaser and the maaser to the Kohen. He could make an estimation. It says mehashev ha medida ba'e, which means, what do you mean? Maaser min maaser is 10%. How could you give a 10% shi'ur on estimation? The Braita says, right, then he crushes them up. Oh, now I know why he has to crush them, because it's kenas, because he wants you to give the kohen finished product. Good, but it should say you should have to actually count the seeds to give exactly 10%. Why does the Braita say mehashev, which is estimation? Hamane, who's the author of this? Abba el-Azar ben Gimal. He. Detanya, we have a braita. Abba el-Azar ben Gimal Omer. It says in the Pasuk, V'nechshav lachem terumatchem. The Pasuk says, and it will be considered to you as terumah. B'shte terumot ha-katuv medaber. This Pasuk is actually referring to two different types of terumah. Ahat terumah gedolah, that's regular terumah. Ahat terumat ma'asir. And what is terumat ma'asir? Which is ma'asir min ma'asir. Keshem she terumah gedolah nitelet be'omid. Just like you're allowed to give terumah gedolah me'omid, which means estimation. Now what's the reason why you can give terumah gedolah from estimation? Because from the Torah there's no shi'ur. From the Torah, if you gave one wheat, one kernel, you poter. So therefore, for the 150th or 140th or 160th shi'ur, it halacha says you can give it me'omid. And furthermore, you're also allowed to give terumah gedolah b'machshava. You don't actually have to separate it to make a terumah. You can in your mind say the wheat that's in that corner of the pile is going to be considered terumah. That's done in your machshava. Kach terumat ma'aser. So too, ma'aser and a ma'aser nitelet be'omed u'machshava. So you could also take it be'omed and machshava. So look, it's actually a pasuk. When it says in the pasuk v'nechshav lachem terumatchem, so what does v'nechshav mean? I can do it with machshava. So that already I have a pasuk for. That I can do it b'machshava, that just like terumah gedolah is b'machshava, so too terumat ma'aser b'machshava. The hiddush of this statement is that just like terumah can be done be'omid, meaning with estimation, you don't have to actually, you know, count it out, so too terumat ma'aser can also be done with estimation. That is the hiddush. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says, gufa. So bottom line, that's why the Braita said, let him crush the kernels, and then let him, he doesn't have to count them, he can just give an estimated amount, just like you're allowed to do it by terumah. Okay, when it says terumatchem in the pasuk, it's talking about two terumot, and we're comparing terumah gedolah and terumat ma'azer. Gufa, we have a statement. Amar Babhu Amar Bishimon ben Nakish. Ma'asir Rishon Shehikdimo B'Shibulim. When you went and you took Ma'asir Rishon, when they were still in the stalks, you didn't wait for the Hayuv of Terumat to come. Shemo Tovlo L'Terumat Ma'asir. The name, once it's called Ma'asir Rishon, it puts the status of Tevil on it. Because Ma'asir Rishon, you need to take Terumat Ma'asir. So the language of the Gemara is Shemo Tovlo. The name, the status of Ma'asir now makes it Tevil. So the Gemara says, My Ta'amah Ma'asir. Once you're calling it Ma'asir, so now it is Tevil, because you have to take Ma'asir min a Ma'asir to give it to the Kohen. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Nakish. Ma'asir Rishon Shiktimo B'Shibulim. Right? If the Ma'asir Rishon that the Levi preempted, and he took it when it was still in the stalks, Patur mit Terumah Gedolah. It's Patur from Terumah Gedolah. Of course it's Patur. Why? Because you didn't make Miruah Hakri. You preempted, right? Shine Emar. The Torah is talking to the Levi, and the Torah tells the Levi, Mr. Levi, when you get your helik, make sure you separate ma'aser min ma'aser. So the Gemara says, ma'aser min ma'aser, amarti lecha, velo terumah gedolah u'terumat ma'aser min ma'aser. The Torah only says that the Levi is obligated to give one gift, not two gifts. It says, v'harimota, you'll separate ma'aser min ma'aser, but not terumah gedolah and ma'aser min ma'aser. So that's how you know if the Levi came early, he's patur from terumah. If that's the case, if you're exempting the Levi from his obligation or an obligation of terumah, it should be even if he came, let's say, after it was in a pile already, it should be also patur. Because if you're bringing me a pasuk that says the Levi only has to give one gift, what do I care when he comes? Even if he comes after they made a pile and he takes it, he should be obligated only to give terumat ma'aser and not terumah gedolah. Amar le, so he tells him, ha'alecha amar kira. For people like you, the Torah wrote the following pasuk: Mikol matenotechem tarimu et kol terumat Hashem. The pasuk says, from everything that you get, you have to give all the terumot. What does all the terumot mean? You have to give ma'aser min ma'aser and terumah gedolah. So we have two different pasukim. One pasuk smashma, the Levi only has to give one gift, ma'aser min ma'aser. Another pasuk smashma, you got to give everything, terumat ma'aser plus terumah gedolah. So comes the Gemara and says, umara ita. The Gemara says, what did you see? How did you know to separate the pasukim like you did? Because the pasuk that you said is patur from terumah gedolah, you learned it's talking about where he took it in the stalks. And the pasuk that you said he's hayav in terumah gedolah, you learned it's talking about when you put it in the, when he took it from the pile. How did you know to learn the pasukim that way? Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe when it's the pile, he's patur from terumah, and when it's the stalks, he's hayav in terumah. I got one pasuk that says you give two, and one pasuk you only give one. How did you know how to explain these pesukim? Gemara is very simple. Hai idgan, v'hai lo idgan. Which means, once already it's in the pile, it's called dagan. And we know dagan is hayav in terumah. So therefore when the Levi comes at the time that it's called dagan already, of course it's going to be hayav in terumah. He has to give his terumah. He has to give 2% as well as terumat ma'asir. However, in the case of the stalks, lo idgan. It's not called dagan yet. Since it's not called dagan yet, it's going to be patur from Teruma gedola. The Gemara continues. Tenan hatam. We learned in the Mishnah. Hamikalef se'orin. A person, let's say, peels se'orin. He peels barley. Which is, they're in these stalks. He peels the shell off of it, and he wants to eat them, you know, after they're peeled. Mekalef ahat ahat ve'ochel. So the halakha says it's permissible for him to peel one at a time and eat them. Ve'im kalaf ve'natan letuch yado hayav. But if he peels a lot at a time, and he puts them in his hand, and then he eats them, so he's going to be hayav. Now what are we talking about? Nashi. המקלף סעורים לאוכלן כלופים חיים. What's it amro? ואוכל פטור מן המעשר. That's the חידוש. That the obligation of מעשר is not on. Why? דחיהי גבנה אכילת עריהי. This is talking about a temporary eating. He's snacking. ובשלו נתמרחו כעת. We're talking about where he didn't pile them up yet. שמקלפן בתוך שיבולת שלהם. He's eating them when they're still in the stalk. So we're learning a חידוש. That so long as you're eating the barleys in a temporary fashion before you made miruah one at a time, there's no hayuv of ma'asir. But once you start, like you peel a couple of them, and now you're having them in your hand, that's already you're piling them. Now already going to be hayav on ma'asir. That's the first din. The Amar Rabbi Elazar vechen leShabbat. This law also applies to Shabbat. Rashi ahat ahat lo havi mefarek to dadedash. There's a law on Shabbat, you're not allowed to thresh. What is threshing? Where I take, let's say, the wheat that's in its stalk, and I bang it, in order to get the kernel out. That's really called mifarik, which is a toldah of dash. Because here I'm not doing dash. Dash is usually you take the animals and you bring it over the wheat. Here I'm just doing it with my hand. I'm just, separating. So on Shabbat, you're allowed to eat these se'orim. However, you're only allowed to eat one at a time. Then it's not going to be considered a problem of threshing or mefarik. However, if you separate a lot at a time and you store them and then you eat them, that's considered the normal way of threshing, where you do a lot at a time, it's going to be asur. So the Gemara is saying that there's a connection between the law of ma'asir and the law of Shabbat. Just like when it comes to the law of ma'asir. If you're eating one at a time, you're patur. But if you store them in your hand, you're hayav ma'asir, so to on Shabbat. If you eat one at a time, there's no problem of mefarek todah dedash. However, if you store them in your hand, it's going to be a problem. V'chein the Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Ini, we have a contradiction. V'ha Rav mekalfa le debitu kaseh kaseh. Rav's wife used to peel cupfuls of se'urim. And therefore, on Shabbat. So how could you tell me that there's, you got to go one at a time? Rav's wife would do kaseh kaseh. She would fill cups and cups. So the chaura, that's a problem. Rabbi Chiya mekalfa le debitu kase kase. Rabbi Chiya, the same thing. So the Gemara says, Ela I itmar asefa itmar. This vechen le Shabbat, don't learn it on the first statement of that braita. Learn the vechen le Shabbat on the upcoming statement of the braita, the sefa. What does it say in the sefa? Hamolel melilot shel chitim. So we say, let's say a guy wants a molel melilot. What does that mean? He takes the wheat and he's rubbing it, in his fingers in order to get the wheat out of the stalk. Menapeyah aliyad aliyad ve'ochel. He's allowed to be menapeyah, which means now you have wheat in your hands with chaff. So what do? You're allowed to transfer it back and forth from hand to hand, and during the transfer process, the chaff will blow away. That is permissible, correct? No, but after you do that, then you keep on transferring from hand to hand, right. So the wind, as you're transferring from hand to hand, the chaff is light, it'll just fall out. Now, v'im nipeyach v'natan l'toch heko hayav. However, if you place it, let's say, b'toch heko, you place it in your lap, you put a lot of it in your lap, or let's say heko would mean, let's say he takes his shirt, right? And he takes it out in his hem, and he fills it up with all this wheat over here, so that's going to be asur.
Why?
So we'll see now. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abi, this is again referring to the Hayuv of Ma'asir. Again, we're discussing the Hayuv of Ma'asir. If you're doing it a little at a time, and in your hand you're separating them, so it's eating considered arai, you're not going to be hayav in ma'asir. However, if after you blow them. You store them in your in your like hem, which means that you have a lot of them.
Yeah, storage.
That's storage. That's considered chiyuv maaser. Now, Amar Abir Azar v'chen leShabbat. So it's saying so too. This is going to be the chiyuv on Shabbat, meaning that if you're making mililot on Shabbat to eat right away, no problem. But if you make the mililot and you put the wheat, you know, and you store them,
right,
that way it's going to be a problem of da'ah. So the Shabbat law was not said in the first case, it was said in the second case of Mililot. Matkif la Rabbi Abba bar Mamal, v'resha lema'aser in l'shabbat lo. You're telling me in the first case, for ma'aser, it's going to be considered gemar melacha, which means when you put the, when you do a lot at a time,
right,
it's going to be chiyuv in ma'aser, but it's not going to be a chiyuv for Shabbat. Right, we're learning the case of v'chen l'shabbat is only on the sefa. In the resha, what was the resha case? Hamekalef se'orim, by the case of the barley, which means we're giving a hadush over. We're saying that even though for ma'asir it's going to be considered a melacha, meaning when you pile a lot of them, right? So it's going to be hayav in ma'asir, but for Shabbat it's not going to be considered a melacha, right? Because the v'chen l'shabbat is not going on the case of the barley. To that, the Gemara says, "Umi'ika midi d'anyan Shabbat lo avi gemar melacha ul ma'asir avi gemar melacha." Which means, if it's considered a melacha, melacha is a melacha. Once you tell me it's considered gemar melacha for ma'aser, it should be considered a melacha for Shabbat. What's isur on Shabbat? The Torah is osir melachot. What's considered a melacha? Well, if we find that this is considered a melacha for ma'aser, for the chiyuv ma'aser, seemingly it should be considered a melacha
for Shabbat.
How could you split it? How could you call it a melacha for ma'aser, but you're not going to consider it a melacha for Shabbat? How does that work? Matkif la Rabbi Shisha bered Rav Idi velo veha gonan lema'aser detnan ezu gonan lema'aser, which means when it comes to ma'aser, what's considered a pile to be hayav in ma'aser? You got to put them in a pile. Gonan, what's considered a pile? So there's different fruits, different vegetables. The Gemara says kishu'in v'dilu'in. When it comes to kishu'in, which would be, let's say, cucumbers, and dilu'in with squash, mishif kisu. Mishif kisu, once already the blossom dries up and falls off, that's already considered gemar melacha, and therefore it's going to be hayav in ma'aser. V'shelo fiksu, if let's say the blossom did not fall up, mishiyamid arma, when you put it in a pile. So there's two stages. Either gemar melacha is when the blossom falls off, to be hayav in ma'aser, or if it didn't fall off, let's say it's staying on for a long time, once you pile it, mm-hmm, it's considered gemar melacha.
Okay.
Now, let's analyze for a second. Gemar melacha is once you piled it. Utnan name gabe betzalim. By onions, we have a law. Mishiyamid orma. Also by onions, once you make a pile of onions, it's going to be hayav in maaser, which means the pile is considered gemar melacha. Ve'ilu gabe Shabbat, but by Shabbat, ha'amadat orma patur. By Shabbat, if I would go into the maaser and make a pile of onions, am I hayav anything? No, it's not hayuv. So you see what? That you could have an item that's called the melacha for ma'asir, but it's not called the melacha for Shabbat. Again, by ma'asir. When are you hayav? Only when it's gemar melacha. What's considered gemar melacha? Let's say by onions, for example. The Gemara says, you take a pile of onions, you bring them into your house, you heap them. Oh, gemar melacha. Okay, now let's take Shabbat. Leave ma'asir. I go into ma'asir, take a pile of onions, and make a mound. Did I do anything isur?
No.
There's no isur. But what do you mean? If it's a melacha. So you see what? Something that's called a melacha by ma'asir is not necessarily called a melacha for Shabbat. There's no issur in piling onions. So the Gemara, ela mai itach lememash. You know what you have to say? You have to say, melechet machshevet asra Torah. Achen amem melechet machshevet asra Torah. Which means, the Torah did not just osir melacha. The Torah was osir melechet machshevet. It's got to be a significant melacha. It has to be a melacha chashuva. For example, all the melachot we learned from the Mishkan, all the melachot that we learned from the Mishkan were positive, constructive melachot that were melachot chashuvot, melechet machshevet. However, just because it's called a melacha for ma'asir, making a pile, that's not going to make a melacha for Shabbat, which is on Shabbat. It's not enough to find something that's called a melacha. It's got to be melechet machshevet. And therefore, since it's not melechet machshevet, it's not a problem. And therefore, go back to the case of the se'orim.
Okay.
When we said if a guy on Shabbat is, let's say, min kolef se'orim, one at a time, you're not hayav in ma'asir. Oh, but if you pile them up in your hand, you're hayav in ma'asir, because that's considered gemar melacha. However, on Shabbat, Even if you pile them up in your hands, it's okay. What do you mean? It's a melacha for maaser. It's a different guidelines. What's called a melacha for maaser is not necessarily called a melacha. For sure, haraya, piling the onions is a melacha for maaser to be hayah. But piling onions on Shabbat is not considered a melacha. Now let's look at Rashi. Look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Ela, mai itlach lememar. Afagav de le maaser havya melacha, kama le Shabbat. But for Shabbat, lo havi melacha, demlechet machshevetchi melechet umanut. You need an expertise melacha, asrat Torah, shenismecha parashat Shabbat lemlechet haMishkan. Because the laws of Shabbat are learned from the Mishkan. Right? Very good. The Gemara continues. Gemara says, Kesad Molel. Now we said, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to be molel. What does molel mean? You're allowed to take the wheat and you have to rub them against your fingers to get the shell off. So the Gemara wants to know, how exactly do you do that? Abaye mishemeh derav Yosef amar hada ahada. One finger against another finger. For example, the thumb against the forefinger. You take the wheat and go like this. One finger against the finger. Verav avya mishemeh derav Yosef amar hada atarte. You can even do the thumb against two fingers, no problem. Rabba Amar, Kivan de Meshaneh. Once already you're doing it in your hands, which is not the normal way. Afilu Hada Akunhu. Which is even if you take the thumb and go against all the fingers, it's going to be mutar, because bottom line, it's not the normal derech to do it in your hands. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Kesad Menapeyah. So we said Nipua, right? We said you take the, now you have the chaff and the wheat together, so you. You know, you go back and forth in your hands to remove the chaff. So, menapeyah. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava. Amar Rav menapeyah mikishre etzbeotav ulma'ala. You have to do bishinui. We don't want you to use your palms, but we want you to put the wheat and the chaff from your knuckles up. So that when you're transferring it back and forth, do it bishinui. Don't do it in your palms, which would be the normal way, let's say, but do it from the kishre etzbeotav, from the knuckles up. So the Gemara says, "Mahachu ala b'ma'arava." In the West, they laughed at this. Yeah, in Israel, they laughed at the shita. What do you have to do with the mikshtes be'otav? Kevan de mishaneh. Since you're doing it in your hands, that's not the normal way to separate the chaff. Afidu bechula yada aname. Even with all your hands, it's okay. That's not the normal way to separate the chaff. Therefore, you can go back and forth, even in your palms. El amar bil hazar menapeyah biyado ahad ubchol koho, which means he comes out and says that you can only do it biyado ahat. You cannot use two hands, because that would be, let's say, the normal way you would do it during the week. But bechol koho, which means it seems you would take the wheat in one hand and you'd, you know, shake it up and down, bechol koho, so the wind or the air would cause the chaff, which is the light part of it, to separate. But you cannot go from hand to hand, because that would be the normal derech that you would do it.